For us this morning, I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. If you've been watching the news and watching what's going on in the world, there's a lot of things happening. And we just don't understand. When we don't understand something, it causes a thing called doubt, or it causes uncertainty in our life. So over the next couple of weeks, I want to just talk about how you can live in uncertain times. We sang a song. When you see all these signs, lift up your head. Redemption draweth nigh. Students of the Bible realize that all the things that are happening in our world today are just signs of the times. And it's a certainty that Christ is coming back. It's a certainty that we need salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. But there's a lot of things going on. And Paul writes to the Philippian church, and other apostles write to, about how to deal with this uncertainty. This morning, in this first message on this little micro mini-series, so I want to talk about the challenge of uncertainty. We're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. But before we read God's word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for an opportunity to open your word and study it. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We ask that your Holy Spirit would illuminate us today. Father, we ask that you take away all distractions, Lord, that you bind Satan on our behalf. And Father, we pray that your will be done, your truth be heard, and it would set us free. Lord, I just ask if someone here does not know you as Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation. Lord, I pray that you be with those that have been saved and haven't taken the first step in obedience for baptism, that they would consider that. Mm-hmm. Lord, I pray that be with those that need a place to bond with, Lord, that way consider our church. Lord, I just ask that you just help us, Lord, through this message. Lord, I pray that we would leave here changed, more certain of your love for us in this time of uncertainty. We ask all these things in your Son's precious holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, a very familiar passage, preached on a lot. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. Several things that we need to understand. These are anxious times. The word for careful means don't be anxious. Really, to put it in plain English, don't worry. Don't worry. There's a lot of people out there worrying because they don't know what's happening. Uncertainty can cause fretting. Nationally, the last census that was taken, and a study done that, over 40 million adults, which is 19% of our population, have an anxiety disorder in our country. Nearly one third of adults reported anxiety or depression in the year 2023. I think everyone in here knows someone who's anxious, someone who's having trouble dealing with the things that's going on. Worldwide, anxiety is the most common form of mental illness. Roughly 301 million people, or 4% of the global population, have some sort of anxiety disorder. Jesus addressed it. Paul addressed it. Peter addressed it. God's Word addresses it right here. An unchecked uncertainty can cause people to be anxious and cause us to fret. We fret over a lot of things. We need to fret over the right things. Uncertainty can result in failure. You've ever heard the phrase paralyzed by fear? People are just so locked up, thinking and overcome by so much stuff that they can't function at all. And that's totally against what God wants us to do. He wants us to have victory. He wants us to have life. He wants us to be more than conquerors. But today, people have given up just because of all the things that they see. And they say it's not worth it. But the good news is that uncertainty can result in faith. The first four words says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about it. But, and I love the word but in the Bible, because God gives us a way out. It says, then everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And God wants us to tell Him our heart. And it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In this first thing about the challenge of uncertainty, there's three things I want to point out. First of all, we need to understand the circumstances of uncertainty. There's three things that bother people. The first one is just fear itself. You know, FDR said there's nothing to fear but fear itself. But what happens to fear in people's lives that causes a loss of perspective? I love the insurance commercial, which is a horror one, where they're running away from this demon-possessed guy or monster. And they pass up a running car that would allow a way to escape. And then they said, one of the girls said, well, let's go hide in the barn. And they go in and there's all these chainsaws. And standing in the back is not Elon Musk. Okay? Standing in the back is a guy with a chainsaw and he's just shaking his head. Fear can cause us to make bad decisions because we lack perspective. In a spiritual sense, I would like to look at Job real quick. Bad things happen to Job in chapter 1. And at the end of chapter 1, verse 21, he says, naked came I and naked I'll go, but blessed be the Lord. He had the right perspective, but a couple of chapters later, he loses that perspective. In verse 3 of chapter 3, he curses his birthday. He says, why did you bring me into the world in the first place? In verses 25 and 26, he says, for the thing which I greatly what? Feared is come upon me. And that which I was afraid of is come unto me. And now he has a crisis of faith. He doesn't understand why these things are happening to him. And he loses sight of God. And he loses sight of faith. He says, I was not in safety. I thought everything was going right. And then all of a sudden, neither I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. It causes us to lose perspective. Fear also causes a loss of love. When you fear someone, you don't love them. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath what? Torment. Job was perplexed by it. John sees it, and he writes about it. Fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love, because you've lost perspective. You don't think anyone's on your side, even your spouse. What did Job's wife say? Why didn't just curse God and die? That's not a solution. Not a solution at all. Fear can cause a loss of perspective. Fear can have a loss of love. But I want to make a poignant statement right now. Fear talks about a lack of God. A lack of faith. A lack of love. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 27. I believe Paul wrote Hebrews. And he talks about this. He says, once you've heard about the good news of the gospel and what Christ did on the cross, and you ignore that, you need to be in fear of eternity. Because in verse 27 it says, the only thing that you can get out of this is but of a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Next week we'll talk about wisdom, the need for wisdom to deal with fear. But Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, after Solomon tried everything under the sun to bring him joy and peace and happiness, he comes to this conclusion. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the matter, of the whole matter. Fear God. Now, that's not to be afraid, but we need to be afraid of God that we need Him. And I'll tell you what, if you don't think you need God, you need to be afraid. Because our need should drive us to our knees, just like it says here in Philippians. But by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the what? The whole duty of man. One of the circumstances of uncertainty is fear, causing a lack of perspective, a lack of love, a lack of God. Secondly, failing resources. In 1 Kings chapter 17, there's a story of Elijah and the widow at Zarephath. And Elijah's told to go to Zarephath and find this woman, and he finds this woman gathering up sticks to make a final meal. In verses 10 through 17, 10 through 15. And he comes up to her and he says, hey, can you make me some food? Can you make me a meal? And the widow had a problem. Her resources were dwindling. Uncertainty is caused when we don't see a way through the future. A lot of people are worried about what the stock market is going to do. A lot of people are worried about what the conflicts in the world is going to do. A lot of people, big thing right now is, do we have enough for retirement? This widow had enough food for one more meal. And in verse 12 of 1 Kings 17, she says, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Her future was uncertain. She didn't see any way out. And we have this uncertainty when we see our resources dwindling. And the second thing is when we think that no one cares. I've often thought about this story. And Elijah presses upon the woman and says, hey, make me a cake first and then make for you. Elijah knew what was going to happen, but she didn't. She didn't. She said, what? You're going to take my last food? There's people today saying that. What? You're taking food out of my mouth. You're taking money out of my pocket. I don't know what I'm going to do. No one cares for me. God does. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 and 32, it says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or whether all shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. God knows. Don't think when you're living in an uncertain time that God doesn't know. Don't think when your resources are running out that God doesn't know. He just wants to show himself strong. Amen. He wants to get your perspective back. He wants to get your love back. He wants to have a relationship with you. Failing resources can cause fear. Secondly, the fragility of life can cause fear. You know, as we get older, that gets closer. And we need to understand life has had a fleeting nature. This is a temporary thing down here in time. In James chapter 4, verse 14, it says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. And James is writing and said, look, you just can't plan for the future the way you want it to. You need to plan for the future the way God wants you to. He says, where is your life? For is even a vapor that appear for a little time and then vanisheth away. On the way to church this morning, there was a little bit of fog, but the fog's gone because it's burned off. And that's what James is writing about here. About the fleeting nature of life. The fleeting nature of riches. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 5 says, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. And then what? And then what? The fragility of life talks about the fleeting nature of life. In time, we always think that we have tomorrow. We don't have tomorrow. We always think that we'll have our bank account. You may not have that. We need to understand its final outcome. There's the account in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21, about a certain rich man who had a farm. And his farm produced crops bountifully. And he didn't look to the God who gave them that increase. He looked to himself and said, this came from me. And he says, I know what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build bigger ones so I can keep everything that I've got. Folks, you can't hold on to things that are fleeting. And he says, after I do this, eat, drink, and be merry. I have a lot of life ahead of me and I can enjoy it. But in Luke chapter 20, verse 12, verse 20, it says, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. See, are you uncertain this morning because of fear? Are you uncertain this morning because you don't think you have enough? Are you uncertain this morning because you just don't see life going the way that you want it to? The circumstances of uncertainty. However, there's a call to faith in uncertainty. The nation of Israel was 2 months out from Egypt. They're out in the wilderness and they're running out of food. And in Exodus chapter 16, the first part of that, it says, they come to Moses. And it says here, verse 3, it says, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat to the bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. See, the call to faith and uncertainty needs to understand that we need to trust in God's provision. Moses prays to God, and God provides a unique way of solving the problem. It's called manna. And Moses tells the people, says, tomorrow morning, wake up, you're going to see this stuff on the ground, you can eat it. Take all that you want, but fuss for yourself. Don't take extra. On the Sabbath day, or on the sixth day, you'll get enough for 2 days. See, God knows the timing, God knows the provision and everything else. And when the children of Israel saw it the next morning, they said, one to another, it's manna. Manna really means, what is it? It's God's provision, what it is. And a lot of people don't even know God's provision when they see it. They don't understand where it comes from, why it comes from. For they wist not what it was, and Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. You know, God knows our problems. We just need to trust in His provision. And understand that bread in the wilderness was a picture of Christ. Because later on, thousands of years later, Christ comes on the scene in the temple and says, I'm the bread of life. And the religious people said, no, God gave us manna. You're not manna. Hank Jesus said, yes, I am. He who comes to me will never hunger, never thirst. See, we need to trust in God's provision and not sit there and analyze, well, what is that? Just trust God for it. Amen? Secondly, the call to faith and uncertainty is to trust in God's plan. We're all familiar with the story of Joseph. How Joseph needed to learn something. He probably needed to learn discretion and not tell his brothers what he was dreaming about. Sometimes we can say the right thing at the wrong time and get people upset, and that's what happened. They sold him to what? Slavery. And he goes down to Potiphar's house, and he rises up the ranks. He becomes the chief steward of the house, and then he's accosted by Potiphar's wife and then falsely accused. Winds up in prison. And God's with him again. He raises up to be the steward of the prison, and he interprets the dream of the baker and the butler. And then time goes by because the butler forgot. And then all of a sudden, trouble came. And you know, when trouble comes, people start looking to God. Mm-hmm. And the trouble came in the form of a dream. And Pharaoh didn't understand. And the butler remembered it. Mm-hmm. And said, here's a man here. And Joseph now becomes the prime minister of Egypt because he has the plan to deal with the famine. But the famine is just not in Egypt, it's everywhere. And Jacob and his sons are having to deal with this too. And you know the story that they send down his sons to get food, and to get food, and on the way back they find out that they got their money back, and He also had to leave somebody behind, and it was causing everybody distress. And the second time they come down, and Joseph reveals himself to them. And they're scared to death. They have true fear. Because they think that this man that is now the prime minister of Egypt is going to take off their heads. We need to trust in God's plan. Over time, we start seeing God's plan. Joseph started to see what this was all about. In Genesis chapter 45, verses 4 and 5, it says, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray thee. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life." It reminds me of the verse in Romans chapter 8. For all things work together for what? For good. To them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. We need to trust in God's provision. We need to trust in God's plan. That God's got you. He's sovereign. He understands. And then we need to trust in God's protection. There's the story of David and Goliath. And Goliath comes up and he's challenging the nation of Israel, bring forth a man to a one-on-one fight, and whoever wins, they win the battle. And when Goliath gets up there, you know the story, basically, everybody's just shaking in their boots. Because Goliath's a big dude. He's a big dude. And then David comes on the scene. David had trusted God's protection before because the Lord had saved him from the paw of the bear and of the lion when he was tending his father's sheep. Sound familiar? But David understood God's protection. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 45 and 46, then said David to the Philistine. He tries, so he said, you need to go up with the armor. He puts on Saul's armor. He says, I can't wear this stuff. Takes his sword away. He says, you know what? I'll just use what I know works. Folks, what we need to use is, we need to use what we know works with God. So he takes the five smooth stones. He goes out and he hits the guy. Chops off his head with his own spear. But he comes there, he says this, he says, but said David to the Philistine, this come, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver me into thy hand, into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give thee the carcasses of the host. To give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a spear or sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So the issue is there's the uncertain, there is the circumstances of uncertainty. And then there's the call of faith uncertainty. And when you have faith in God, there's a third thing. There's the comfort in uncertainty. God will be there in our trials. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Great illustration of three Hebrew children. They don't bow down. They want to serve God. They obey his commandments. Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Nebuchadnezzar gives him one more chance and says, hey, if you don't bow down to me, you're going to go to a fiery furnace. Give you one more chance. He says, nope, we already made up our mind. We're going to go, we're not going to bow down. God's going to save us from the furnace. He will. If God does it, that's okay. We'll be with God. And in Daniel chapter 3, verses 24 and 25, says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished when he threw him in. There were three that went in, but how many were in the furnace? Four. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said, true, O Lord. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. Amen. And they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Mm-hmm. We talked about the power of God walking in his footsteps. Right. How God would give us the strength to overcome things that we never thought we could overcome. Right. Mm-hmm. God gives us his presence in trials. God gives us peace in our heart. It says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall what? Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Bible gives us another illustration. The disciples in the storm. Jesus in the boat. Jesus says, we're going to go over to the other side. You know, when Jesus gives us a plan, he doesn't say it's going to be smooth sailing all the way. And so they're out there in the boat, and the boat starts getting swamped by a storm, and Jesus is asleep because he knows what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And they wake up, Jesus, wake up, I'm going to die! And in Mark chapter 4, verse 39, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Mm-hmm. If Jesus could calm the storm, he can calm your heart. He can calm your uncertainty. He can calm your fear. He can calm all the things that are distracting you. He can calm all that stuff and give you the peace of the storm in your life. There's comfort in uncertainty. God's presence in our trials, God's peace in our heart, and God's promises in our lives. Sometimes God tells us to go out to the unknown, and a lot of uncertainty is because we just don't understand what the future holds. He did that with Abraham. He says, get you out of this country, I will send you someplace else. And then he makes his brother promise. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, he says, now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, to a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a what? Great nation. How long did Abraham have to wait for a son? And I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing to others. You know, we have no help. We're no help to anybody when we're all wrapped up in fear. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Amen. Folks, when we see God's promises, we accept them. And it's a blessing to us. It gets us through the uncertain times. It puts us in places that we never thought possible. Do things that we never thought practical. And we can be a blessing to others. And we know it's this faith that causes us to believe. The same faith that Abraham had is what we need in our lives today. So the issue is this. Don't be uncertain in uncertainty. Understand that uncertainty is out there. And it's just part of being a human. However, there is a call to faith. And there is the comfort of God. Don't be uncertain about your relationship with God today. We need to follow Him. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to hear your word. Father, help us to not fear, but to love you. Help us, Lord, not to fear you as judge, but also love you as Savior. Lord, I pray that you just take away the things that are bothering us, Lord, and help us to cast it at the foot of your cross. And Father, that you would have empower our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.